that's not a Hall of Fame, for Christ's sakes. I mean, I know wrestling fans are very passionate about some things, but the Hall of Fame is something you shouldn't be passionate about. You know, I mean, Jerry Lawler called us druggies and homosexuals and all kinds of things for years and years on his TV show, and then he gets inducted. Dustin Rhodes, baby, heck, will pay one of the, that fat piece of lazy shit, he's in the Hall of Fame. Mr. Perfect blows himself away with an overdose of cocaine, he's in the Hall of Fame. But now they say, well, we're not sure if we can put Benoit in there. Benoit took that fucking extreme wrestling shit to a higher level, brother. Nobody, I don't know if anybody can top. I don't even know if New Jack or one of those guys can top that shit.
So you might not even take it if they offered it?
Not right now. I'm too busy. I do my own thing. See, if I did that and you said, come on down, let's do this thing for the video and let these people know what the real story is. There's a no-compete clause for like 90 days after the Hall of Fame where you can't do anything in wrestling. And I think they try to slide that if you go to the Hall of Fame, you have to clear all your bookings with them. Guess what? Fuck you! As Sheik was saying, fuck you! Fuck you!
On the fire starter. Twisted fire starter.
Smack my bitch up.
I was going to say that one next, yeah. Did they have another one? I think they had another one. Nope. I know they did. No, Teddy Bizcliz was a fan of Prodigy. The Prodigy. Smack my bitch up, fire starter. And there's one more. It's going to come to me at some point.
Pretty sure there wasn't one more.
Nate.
Nobody could have possibly had the patience to wait around for a third The Prodigy song.
Yeah, there was. Because Firestarter was the first or second single.
Smack My Bitch Up. That was like definitely the song we were blaring when we called my friend Jim.
Yeah.
After he had gotten both of his parents arrested by calling the cops on a domestic disturbance.
Yeah.
And we were just yelling into the phone with that blaring in the background.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, it's your deadbeat dad. I need you to come get me out of jail. I need to crash in your dorm room for a while.
It's only funny because he months later killed himself.
No, untrue. Oh. Nobody killed themselves in the story. All right. Other than maybe Rick, the guy we were doing this with. He was always threatening to kill himself. I lost touch with him years ago.
And
he could very well be dead by now.
Also, what we're driving at here, the white guy from Prodigy looks like he killed himself.
I don't really remember what he looks like. All I remember is had a video where, like, a woman got beat up in it. I would assume that was Smack My Bitch.
No!
And everybody was like, this is very controversial.
You don't remember that
this
video?
Cannot be on MTV.
You don't remember that video?
They pulled it.
It was
like, we're not going to play it anymore.
Because they couldn't show it because it was only on MTV After Dark. Because there's a bunch of titties in
sexy.
It.
Yeah.
It's full of nudity.
I mean, I remember it.
It's
coming
it's
out of the time
the
and
video,
being like, oh, man.
All right.
They're
okay.
putting
all
stuff
right,
in the
hold
video.
On. Just slow your roll and shut your mouth.
Very exciting.
I'm going rock on you here. So the video.
To nerds.
It's all first person a la the hit film Hardcore Henry.
Hit film?
Yeah, you've seen it a lot of times. It's in your queue.
Go on.
It's this person going around first person, like at the club, like beating on chicks, like being too aggressive,
a lot of fighting,
a lot of strip clubs, and just like getting handsy with women, just be like, come on, I'm drinking,
keep
whatever.
Shaking around.
Like there's like that
real
doing
annoying to look
first
at.
Person doing drugs and everything. And it just goes the entire song, and you're like, man, this person's a fucking train wreck. And then finally, this person's like, I'm getting this chick. I'm taking this chick home. I'm gonna bang this chick.
Yeah.
And gets the chick home, gets her all naked, and's like, oh yeah, we're fucking.
And at the end, he looks into a mirror, and you see that in the mirror is you.
No, it's
it
also
you
a
the
chick.
Whole time.
It was a lesbo chick. And like when you're a teenage dude, that's like the biggest boner moment in your life.
Nah, I remember not being very interested.
Nah, that video might have won Boner Jam for whatever year that was.
There's had to have been bigger Boner Jams for 2000, I think, probably right. That video came out.
I'm just going to throw this one out there. Not well, I'll put introduce here. Hey, Bayon Blow, it's Matto with me as always. Uh-huh. You are the... You're going to be...
What do you got? Something?
Who did I have for us today?
You just never have it ready to just pop right off.
You're Ron Cumberledge to my Chris Hahn.
Okay.
Yeah, you're Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. So nice to be here.
Yeah, you can edit all that dead space of like me trying to find who I want to call us.
Oh, yeah, I always do.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So?
It's just like one of these weeks, I'm like, oh, maybe he'll have it ready to pop off.
No,
he'll just
never.
Have it like right on the tip of his tongue. Who knows? We'll see. We're only 70-some episodes into this. Eventually maybe this bit will solidify as something you prepare for.
I don't know if it's the CTE mm-hmm. or the increased drinking
mm-hmm.
or the lack of sleeping
mm-hmm.
or if I've had a series of mini
I'll
strokes.
Stop you when you're saying something that doesn't sound real.
What, you know, a series of mini strokes, but words fail me these days.
Wow. That's deep, Ogre.
Which is
tough. Just because you feel so deeply that you feel like the words.
No, I just can't. I just can't find words anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's probably worse.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough because we do a podcast.
Sure. Maybe we should. What could we change this to make it easier than a podcast? Podcast is already the easiest thing you could do, I think.
Maybe if we did, if instead of a podcast, like we could do the podcast, but we do it like on YouTube where it's like the. Video
oh,
cast.
Hey, everybody. It's the newest episode. Sorry it's been so long since we posted the last one.
And you kind of make intelligent statements, but I'll like develop like a wild-ass party animal gimmick
where
I always have like a leather coat mm-hmm. and like sunglasses and a lit cigarette.
We really got to like set up like this house I'm living in looks way too nice.
Sure.
We got to set up some sort of like set where it just looks like we're in some
studio
sort of disgusting
yeah.
fucking room. Just like some gross, depressing bedroom.
I'll bring us in more wrestling stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll put in there.
Finally.
And finally,
I'm getting more of your wrestling crap in here. That's been my goal for so long.
If we're doing like the video thing, you can say stuff. And then instead of me trying to like make jokes and put words together, uh-huh. I can just do reaction shots.
Oh, we could have a real... Tom Green and that guy who just drinks
Correct.
Out of a coffee cup
yep.
relationship going on.
Yep.
Hi. Can I talk to you for a second? Can I talk to you just for a second on TV? Can I talk to you for a second about the strike?
Who do you represent?
Oh, we're with Ceiling Fan. Can I just talk to you for a second about the strike?
Just a moment. Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Why don't you guys go teach some school and stuff? Stop walking around whining all day, a bunch of dummies and stuff. The kids out there trying to learn and stupid. And it's dumb. That shit is put the signs away and go back. Go teach. Why the hell aren't you guys teaching school anyway? This is stupid crap. Anyways, you guys are a bunch of dummies or something? You should be going back to school and teaching your kids and teaching stuff. So stupid. Can I talk to you guys about the strike for a second?
It's not a strike. It's the political protest. Withdrawal of services.
I can talk to all of you about the withdrawal of services for the TV?
Sure can.
Okay. How come you guys don't just go back to school and teach the kids? The kids are all going to get dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber.
Well, when Harris takes over, that's true. But right now, we would like to be in the classroom. But since he's such an autocratic...
Why don't you guys just go into the classroom?
But you let me finish. You sound like Harris.
Why don't
you want to hear...
Why don't you just go into the
classroom? You don't want to hear from Darren.
How are you? How's the strike going? Can I talk to you for a second on TV about it?
Sure.
Why are you guys a bunch of dummies and why don't you just go back and teach the kids how to do stuff? And not just walk around being a bunch of dummies and stuff. The kids are going to turn into dummies and then you guys should just go back and teach them the school because the kids...
We're sad to report the passing, not only of the white guy from The Prodigy, but...
He's really dead? I thought he just looked dead.
No, he's dead. They think he killed himself, mm-hmm. but he is a fire starter, so it's hard to say. We want to say our condolences to the father of AEW superstar Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
If you'd like to say a few
words.
That's
the big news today.
You were more of a 90210 Luke Perry guy than I was.
Sure.
Kinda...
You know, when I was an 8-year-old.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
So Luke Perry's dead.
Yeah.
That sucks for Jungle Boy, I guess. More importantly, bad news for Jungle Boy. 2-1 day, I gotta say. I'm going to say his prospects in AEW are probably dead, too. It's
really?
Not looking good for these people, Matt. not looking good for these people.
For AEW?
I don't know that the pro wrestling world has caught on to this yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the trades,
yeah,
I wrote entertainment news for a couple of years. Yeah. I still get some updates from the trades.
Okay.
There's big shit going on over at Turner Broadcasting.
Yeah?
If they're counting on having a Turner fucking TV contract, which it sounds like they are, that thing's dead before it got signed, man.
Oh.
This morning, TNT, TBS, True TV, HBO, they all just got merged up into one wing of this thing. Because, you know, AT&T just bought Time Warner.
Oh.
They created a whole new fucking thing. All the TV channels are merged into one thing. Turner Sports gets moved over into an entirely different wing of the company. It's got a completely different president in charge of it. Oh. I'll tell you from experience. Whenever there's sort of like a changeover or regime change in these big media companies,
yeah,
anything that's on the slate is like about to happen, gets canceled real fucking quick. Yeah, the new guy coming in, he puts all his new shit up there. He gets rid of all the shit the old guy was doing. He wants to put his own stamp on it. Unless they have something signed, sealed, delivered, it's like official, 100% ironclad with Turner at this point, and they just haven't said so. Yeah, that shit ain't happening.
Or unless the dude that's president is like already in the back pocket of those owners of the Jaguars.
Ooh, there's a lot of dirty money floating around.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of dirty. There's a lot of uncertainty. That's what I'm telling you.
Sure.
Those offices are in chaos right now. I guarantee it. All you WWE wrestlers begging for your releases. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pump the brakes, buddy. Pump the fucking brakes.
Yep.
Might be game off. You might be debuting on Pop TV.
But don't worry, I have it under good authority. Jungle Boy is being comforted by one Cody Rhodes.
Oh, okay.
He's a fellow wrestler.
He's got an emotional support dog.
Well, Cody Rhodes knows what it's like to lose a very loved member of your family.
Also to, you know that you will never get out of the shadow of that loved member of your family.
That's right. R.I.P.D. Sapphire, we know you're always up there looking down at your son Cody
every day. I don't care what you got going on, man. You could be the next coming. You ain't no Dylan, that's for sure.
Really?
You ain't no Dylan McKay. It's never gonna happen.
You think he's the next, whatever Jason Priestley's character's name was?
Brandon?
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody could be the next Brandon. Brandon was fucking dumb.
Ian Ziering, he had that Ferrari? Or a Corvette. I think he had a yellow Corvette.
I remember he was in Sharknado. I don't remember him famously having a car of any kind.
In 90210.
Oh. Oh.
He was the guy with the yellow Corvette, I think.
Probably. He was like the jock meathead. I wasn't into him. I was into Luke Perry's character more. He was the brooding, like, bad boy.
What about,
That's what the 90s were all about.
What about the future Mr. Fox? What was his character?
Future Mr.
Yeah.
Brian Austin Green?
Yeah.
Oh, he was a nerd who then, like, eventually developed into getting to hang out with the cool crowd because he got into music and stuff.
He was a nerd?
Yeah, he was, like, a huge nerd until his nerd friend accidentally played with a gun and killed himself.
Oh.
And then he sort of parlayed that into getting sympathy from everybody.
Wasn't he? He also, like,
oh, your friend accidentally killed himself?
He also hang out with us. Grew to be, like, a foot taller than everybody.
He was pretty gangly from what I remember.
I just remember
but all the
taller.
Other cast members were like 35-year-old men.
Right.
So I think like, yeah, he just stood out because he was actually probably the only really young one.
Right. And then he grew to be taller than them. And I feel like if you're taller than them, like you can't really
As
be the nerd
taller,
anymore.
As he grew taller, so did the space between...
The space between...
The one girl's tits. So it was the producer's daughter. Ooh, I can't even come up with her name at this point.
Let's see. Jenny Garth. Nope.
Not Jenny Garth. Not Shannon Doherty.
I
it's
love
the other
Jenny
one.
Garth. She's in,
it's the big boss's daughter
like.
Who got put on 90210.
Spelling. Tori Spelling.
Tori Spelling. Yeah. There we go. That chick. Those tits just kept getting weirder and weirder
if
and weirder.
If you ever...
Just making another adjustment. Another nip. Another tuck.
Speaking of Jenny Garth, if you ever want to do a entire series retrospect of her hit show, What I Like About You.
Yeah.
Her show she did with Amanda Bynes.
Uh-huh.
I'm more than prepared.
How many seasons did that last?
4 to 5.
Okay, let's stick to this wrestling thing.
Dan Cortez is in a lot of them.
Okay, sold.
All right, there was my guy.
Until then, though, we're talking wrestling. Let's get into this rundown of the wrestling we're talking this week. This week, the rundown brought to us by 8 Seconds, that movie that the guy who made the Karate Kid movies directed, starring Luke Perry, where he is a bull rider, professional bull rider. I think probably a bad boy bull rider. He was always a bad boy.
This just in, you can stream the entire movie on our other sponsors' website, break.com.
And Crackle. There's a lot of money coming in this week.
You just got to find out how the fuck to get Crackle.
We're running down WWF Superstars from May 2nd, 1992. Big episode with a big opening match. The Big Boss Man is in there versus Mark Roberts. Boss Man wins with that Boss Man Slam. Easy peasy. It was no problem.
Boss Man Slam!
Our next match is Red Tyler, the ginger-haired god, versus Papa Shango, voodoo master.
Papa Shango!
Shango wins with a shoulder breaker.
Gut-wrench shoulder breaker.
Does he look like he was about to do something way more like dramatic and cool?
Yeah.
So he like gut-wrenches him up, then he's like... position him around. He's looking at the camera. He's like, something cool is going to happen.
For this?
Something cool is going to happen. This? And it's just a shoulder breaker. And I was like, ugh. Well, guess he got the win, though. Speaking of win, big winner Tatanka in there versus Brian Costello. He wins it with a Samoan drop. Last time I checked, that guy's Native American. That's cultural appropriation, if you ask me.
Amen, brother.
He's throwing around Samoan drops. Money Inc., the tag team champions of the world, are in there versus Ron Cumberledge and Chris Hahn. IRS ends up getting the pin after just a big jumping clothesline.
Yeah.
Big nasty clothesline. Chris Hahn's a fucking pussy, man. Bitch. Jobbed out to a clothesline.
Bitch.
Tom Bennett and Dwayne Gill versus High Energy in our last match. The debuting High Energy. Coco Beware, Owen Hart. They're a team, motherfucker. They win with stereo missile dropkicks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it for the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Superstars wraps up. But, you know, our coverage of Superstars does not wrap up. It'll continue in our next segment, The Five Count.
In fact, it's just getting started, motherfucker.
Yiddy-yiddy-yo!
First off.
Sure.
Props to Vinnie Mac.
Ooh. A rare props to Vince McMahon.
As you know, or maybe you know, sometimes you might remember... my birthday is in the month of May.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows that, sure.
I meant you personally.
Oh.
I had no idea that I was born in the month of correct posture.
That was, the big pop-off. I didn't get that. If it was a reference to something or just something random Vince McMahon was saying, like...
or is it a real thing?
Well, it's correct posture month!
I mean, I could see him...
now like, it's Superstars! We're going to go into wrestling!
I could see him, like, getting on people for their posture.
Yeah,
like
I could...
body shaming. Definitely. Anything has to do with body
anywhere
shaming.
Where he could just pick on somebody and bully them for being, like, lazy or sloppy. Goddamn
hell!
That's right in his wheelhouse.
Roll your shoulders back! Stick your chest out!
I think this might just be a weird Vince McMahon thing, though, and not actually a month that exists on
the
calendar.
Fair. That's fair.
They did those things before, like, oh, home of whatever gross... sanitary product.
Kaopectate!
So I was like, does this have something to do with the arena we're in? I think we're in Kalamazoo this week, maybe, if I remember
correctly. Home of women's sanitary napkins.
Yeah, so I was like, there's definitely nothing about posture going on in Kalamazoo. I've been through that town. Most people look hideous.
Yeah, that's fair. And boy, the cameras on the crowd sure showed that tonight, huh?
Yeah, just week after week. I'm looking at these people from 1992, and it's shocking me.
Like forever ago.
There was a... this seems like forever ago me watching this show. I think I didn't watch this since like last Friday. I mean, I gotta go through my fucking notes here and see what I'm really talking about. There was one squirrely kid who was shaking an action figure in the camera, though, who was...
he was a little too old to be having that action
the
figure?
The ugliest fan of the week, I was going to give him the thing. But I forget whose action figure it was exactly that he was shaking.
I want to say the second... Ted DiBiase came out
right
in
here.
The Hasbro line.
Looked like an extra
green
from Gummo
suited.
Did I have here in my notes?
Yes.
Kid looks like an extra from Gummo.
He's got classic... when white people can get a certain white trash face that is just known as rat face. Where everything just comes to a point at the tip of their nose.
Sure, yeah.
And the beady eyes and just like the buck teeth and just kind of...
kid in my high school we used to call Swamp Rat. Yeah. He looked just like that.
You can perfectly envision him chewing a small hole in the bottom of your drywall.
Ooh, you don't want that.
But
either.
You could see it.
That's, yeah.
You can picture it.
Property values are going down.
And he had a little bit of a thin red mullet tucked underneath a
just like
classic.
The slight, just like early wisps of maybe a preteen mustache coming in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the whiskers, the rat whiskers.
Super gross.
He had some nice nerdy glasses. And to cap it all off, it's 1992. What the fuck else is he going to wear but a good old-fashioned black and white White Sox hat?
Got to hand it to Vince McMahon, though. Maybe he was on something. The kid's posture was impeccable.
Impeccable.
Posture looked great.
What I really want to talk about, though, is build-up for my guy, the convict.
Oh, Nails. We got Nails coming in.
Yeah.
We don't know his name yet. All we hear is a voice coming out of prisons.
Right.
This week, Boss Man addresses it. He says he's not worried.
He's like, look here, convict.
Mm-hmm. He's put a lot of convicts away, dude.
Yeah.
He's not sweating just one of them. Oh, one of them's getting out? Whatever. This isn't the first time this has happened to him. He's a law enforcement officer.
This was just good build. You got a guy, Boss Man, if you listen, he got a huge fucking pop when he came out.
Boss Man's over.
Huge pop. But he's never really held a fucking title.
Also, like, he's a Southern Georgia racist cop.
Yeah.
Like, how do they get people
How's
to cheer for
guy?
That? That's like the most inherently unlikable character you can come up with.
Right.
They were like, let's turn him face. It'll work. And then it did. The power of just them being able to do whatever they want and get people to react to it any way they wanted
Which
Vince thinks he still possesses. It was off the charts. I can maybe see why, as a confused old man, he hasn't let it go.
Yeah, that's got to be a hell of a feeling.
There's a thing called the internet now, Vince. People are more savvy. They're talking to each other about things.
Yeah, he goes on break.com. He knows what's cool.
Also, Boss Man's still doing like Hulk Hogan-esque chokes and shit in the middle of his match.
Sure.
So it's not like he's out there just like fucking changing up his style in the ring big time.
No. He's just Hogan in it, where he's like, it's what I do, brother.
I'm a dickhead. Love me.
That's
I'm
right.
Beating up the bad guys.
I just liked all the shit they were doing, where they're like, hey, you know, who's this guy going to be? Mm-hmm. I just like that they're building up to somebody, and that he's coming after someone specifically, not just like, watch out when I get here.
Yeah.
You're all on notice.
Take the WWF by storm. I'm the next big wrestler in the wrestling.
It's cool that the whole character's coming in, because he's like, he hasn't even mentioned anything about wrestling or fighting other people.
I just assumed he was showing up with a prison shank and like coming out of the crowd.
As far as these vignettes have made it seem, he's just like, I'm going to kill this guy that I know.
It's all really great build. It's just a shame they did it all for the guy who played Nails.
No, it's not. He was a great...
sucked.
From what I remember, he was a great wrestler. He just, unfortunately...
Your memory...
Vince bitched out on him.
Your memory's really bad. Little kids are dumb.
No, words I am
little
are good.
Little kids think dumb
I
things.
I still got them. I'm doing great.
My number one.
Nails!
I wanted to address that Papa Shango entrance as he's coming out to wrestle.
Oh, you
want to
talk some Shango?
He's dancing around.
I'll talk some Shango you ain't ever
he's
heard.
He's got his smoking skull thing. He's all painted up.
Oh, the smoking skull belt.
And they keep putting the camera on these people's faces. And it's great because everybody's just blank face staring at him because they don't know who he is or what he is.
No.
They're just like, what is this goofy shit? So like they've got no emotion on their face, but the announcers are just like, look at the fear overtaking the crowd.
Yeah.
Everyone's terrified of Papa Shango.
Perfect.
I love how they were just able to.
Perfect pull to me where he couldn't find words. And he's like, Vince, that voodoo.
Makes me pretty not. Feeling great.
Yeah.
It's just a perfect Carney move, though, to take all these visuals you have of your crowd reacting to a thing in no way and just be like, well, it's happening because everybody's so fucking scared of him because he's such an intimidating figure. I was saying boo earns.
They had all those people plugging their nose and covering their nose.
Mm-hmm.
Vince just be like, oh, the smell from that smoke.
It stinks.
Burns the nostrils.
And they did a little Papa Shango classic corner promo. And just like the last episode, he cuts a fucking awesome promo. And he's being weird and he's being energetic and he's really selling this goofy ass character.
Celebrate the living.
It's just making me like wonder why the fuck did he ever stop being
Papa
Shango?
I'll raise the dead.
By far the best character he ever had. The shit should have kept going forever. It rules.
The rivers will flow.
Godfather's stupid.
The rivers run red.
Not a fan. He wasn't rhyming his promos when he was the Godfather.
No.
He was just leaning on that hoe train catchphrase.
I put this pretty great this great little line in here.
Mm-hmm.
Shango went from raise the dead
uh-huh.
to raise the roof.
Wow.
I wrote that. I wrote that in there.
Are you sure that's not something Vince yelled when he was on commentary? You just got it into your brain that way?
No. I liked that match.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Shango for all those reasons you just said.
Mm-hmm.
This dude was legit as fuck.
Yep.
He just clubbed the shit out of that fucking Red Tyler.
Cool face paint.
For like 2 minutes, just smacking him around hard.
Mm-hmm.
He even did a Hogan leg drop as a not finisher.
Yeah, uh-huh. And he's got a much bigger butt than Hogan, so it's like, that looks like he probably hurt more than Hogan's does.
It was all cool, like, he was doing stuff, and the fans were just kind of like, ugh, he's really hurting this guy. We don't really care for him.
Everything up until that finish I loved, and then I was like, what was Shango's finish? It looks like he's got some sort of great finish for me. Oh, that was disappointing.
He even, all that bullshit that he has to carry airport to airport and then wear to the ring.
Yeah.
He puts it all on one turnbuckle, so one turnbuckle's just adorned with all this voodoo
draped
bullshit.
With all his tchotchkes.
That, you know, fucking Vince bought at Chuck's House of Magic.
Sure, yeah.
And, man, at one point in the match, he stopped and, like, started, like, his gaze was transfixed on that turnbuckle.
Sure.
And he looked at all his voodoo shit, and he just was, like, frozen and just started walking towards it.
What am I doing with
and
my life?
And started, like, talking to it.
Oh, okay.
And the fans were just like, I don't care for this.
I don't understand voodoo, quite frankly. We don't have much of the voodoo here in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah. If this is one of them black culture things, I do not want to appropriate
it. No, thank you. I'm pretty sure
they're hip-hop music. Yeah.
I feel like this guy's voodoo. He's supposed to have control over people's fucking bodies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this guy doing the heart punch. Get him like a nice dramatic heart punch.
Kalima.
And like their whole body seizes up and they can't move anymore after they get punched in the heart by that heart punch.
Or even if
that'd
you're
be
not,
a good
even if
he's
not
him.
Doing the heart punch, he's just doing like the claw, but right on the heart.
There you go. Just literally have him rip hearts out.
Yeah, like you can't sell that on commentary.
Vince could for sure.
Like,
he could growl his way
his
through that.
His strength, his hand strength, his grip is so strong, and then he uses his voodoo spell to cause the cardiac arrest. He's literally squeezing their heart to death.
I mean, they made him have squid ink come out of Ultimate Warrior's temples. They could have sold that his heart squeeze hurts. Give me a break.
Hell yeah, they could have.
So Papa Shango, he's A-OK as far as we're concerned.
He's the man.
What's not A-OK as far as I'm concerned?
What's that, pal?
They changed up Paul or Sean Mooney's event center.
Uh-huh.
I hate it. He's got a new set. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah,
it looks
was.
Like... the logo of the World Bodybuilding Federation, kind of. Just like, he's sitting on this chintzy-looking backdrop that's just a bunch of big, like, blocks of weird, gross colors. Just like a collage of colors and just, I don't know, it looks like something that Queen Latifah would have wore in 1992. Like a big baggy pair of pants she would have wore or something. Only it's the big backdrop. It's not the classic, I'm sitting in front of a bunch of monitors monitoring everything going out in the world of wrestling event centers. This Sean Mooney, man, he's the voice of reason. Every week, he's a straight and narrow guy here, putting all this stuff into context. I always loved just how it looked like he was backstage in the trenches. Now he's out here on this garbage-looking fucking set.
Yeah.
1992 is shit. This fucking aesthetics on this thing suck. I'm just like, oh, you ruined Sean Mooney for me. He's one of the things I've been loving. I mean, his delivery was still smooth as silk.
Oh, hell yeah.
Still classic. Throwing to those promos. Giving us a lot of insight into whoever's on the roster these days. But come on. If you're going to build this guy a set, build him something that looks better than this. Looks like the opening credits of Living Single, this fucking set he's sitting in front of.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool show. You're right.
Yeah. My three.
Moving forward.
Is.
Moving forward into this five count.
That Tatanka match.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think I had anything to say about that.
That guy could go. I just forgot how much I enjoyed watching his matches.
Okay, I want to talk about the aftermatch angle.
Yeah, I
want to
talk about all of
cool.
it. I'll get my early stuff
start,
out of the way.
Let's start talking about that match a little bit.
I forgot that he first debuted in full pants.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I forgot that was the look, and I like it. The white with the red and some
blue
accents.
Oh, yeah, later on he had like sort of short tights with some like side of the fucking highway, like leather works, like right. loincloth type stuff right. over it. Yeah, yeah.
You're right about like that. The frilly boots, which made sense. I mean, Native Americans dressed like that and all yeah, the
that's true. That's
pictures I've
every
seen.
Native American I've ever met is wearing shit like yeah, that. So yeah. it makes perfect sense.
Well, the warrior ones you see in the pictures with the like that one Sam Malone had hanging in Cheers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's definitely yeah. what we're referencing when we're yeah. coming up with the character Tatanka in yeah. the WWF fucking offices. You know that picture Sam Malone had in Cheers?
Yeah, head on the back wall. Yeah. Actually, I think it was just a picture of Geronimo he had.
Hey, Jerry! Look what I got!
They never called him a Native American. They kept calling him Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect made a lot of inappropriate well, jokes.
You've got to.
That I'm sure Vince McMahon told him to say.
Yeah. I don't know.
The highlight of them all was, you know the difference between the Braves and the Chief?
I don't know. What is that?
The Braves got 5 cars turned over in his front yard. The Chiefs got 10.
That's... If I ever lived anywhere that had a big Indian population, I may be like,
yeah,
you're right about
scumbags,
that.
Yeah.
Right about that.
Yeah, I do live in North Dakota. Yes.
Unfortunately, I've got no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, apparently,
as far as I knew, they still lived in teepees, Matt.
Wow. Easy.
They don't.
Easy, Kurt Hennig.
They don't.
There was a couple other ones I don't forget.
It's cool. I got one grandpa who was brown because he was Native American.
Oh,
I could totally make these
jokes.
You have
Native American blood in you or something.
Listen, me and Liz Warren, we've got a rich culture in our past. We get a pass.
Great.
We get a pass.
Your great uncle, Charlie Two Dogs.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know why they called him that?
Why?
He had 2 dogs.
Huh.
You don't have to think about it much. That's what's good about Indian names. Rick the Model Martel comes out after this match.
Yes.
And he's just doing great stuff. It's this classic stuff where he's spraying his bug spray thing full of arrogance, his signature scent. But, you know, just coming out and telling everybody they stink.
Oh, he stinks.
Being disgusted by how bad everybody stinks and telling the crowd how bad they stink. It's just, people don't like to be told that they stink. It's very insulting, and it's just, there's no more solid, just dependable of a heel gimmick than that. There should be somebody right now who's still doing the, you all stink, I gotta spray you with fucking air freshener gimmick.
Yeah.
That one will never go away, it just works.
I work in a place where people literally smell awful.
It's the Gap. He works at the Gap.
And I could do this gimmick, and it wouldn't be a gimmick. I'd just be telling the truth.
For real, yeah. I'm helping this place out by trying to sanitize everything.
And I don't even have the heart to tell these people, like,
yeah,
man, you smell really awful.
So terrible.
Because, like, even in that setting, I'm mm-hmm. still just like, you can't tell people that. You just can't tell people that.
These people are incarcerated. They're not people. This is quote-unquote people.
I'll get these guys... They'll sit on a bench and they'll stink up the entire hallway.
Oh, brother.
Like the entire hallway. Just sitting there, smelling.
It's a dream job you have, my friend.
Other people would be like, oh, the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're right, I'll still be
who
like.
Who shit themselves?
I'll still
nobody?
Be like.
That's even worse.
Shut your mouth.
What a gentleman you are.
So you're right. Telling people they stink? That's always going to get you heat, brother.
Speaking of tchotchkes hanging from the ring post, he's got Tatanka's feather headdress hanging from there.
It's just quote-unquote eagle feathers.
Just a feather on a string, but he's spraying that down with arrogance. That's a lot of fun.
And then puts it on.
Yeah, and then he puts it on because he sanitized it.
Because in a great 80s move, he goes, this was yours, it's mine now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Gets great heat from everybody. Everybody's booing him. But then once he takes the feathers, Tatanka gets mad. He tries to come off that apron and put him down with a big old Native American chop. And what's he get, Matt? He gets arrogance sprayed to his eyes.
Arrogance.
I got to say, I don't remember this angle taking place. Because what I remember and what you remember and what everybody remembers is Jake the Snake getting shot in the eyes with that arrogance. And we had months and months of, like, Jake is blind vignettes.
Right.
And then we had like milky-eyed contact lens Jake. And then we had the blindfold match with Jake.
Well,
is Tatanka just gonna like come back fine next week? Did he like spray everybody in the eyes?
He
during all of his feuds, and I just don't remember that.
You don't remember. Tatanka comes back okay from this. He's not blinded. He doesn't have a milky eye. But what you're clearly forgetting.
Jake would have never let that happen.
Clearly, or you're probably just too much of a fucking mark in the late 80s.
Yeah, probably.
And you weren't reading the dirt sheets like I was.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I was also neighbors with Meltzer.
Oh.
And so he'd just like kind of invite me
Who's
over.
Who's Meltzer?
David Meltzer.
Oh, I don't know. I grew up in different towns.
Yeah, he'd invite me over. Without my parents, and let me read his dirt sheets. And
maybe we should speak to an officer of the law about this.
I don't know if this is the appropriate venue. It seems on the level. Either way, after Roberts went blind from that shot of arrogance, FDA stepped in.
Oh, okay. And, so they took some of the,
not
some
the,
of the
same,
terrible chemicals out of arrogance.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Gotcha.
You know.
It's like all those years when we had the lame absinthe around here as they took all the
right.
the wormwood out of it.
Correct. It's just like how you can't get Stacker 2 anymore.
We should have a conversation about that, my friend. You want some Stacker 2? I've got a guy from Guatemala. We can get some Stacker 2 up here.
You say that too loud, Marty Jannetty is going to show up here any minute.
Also, I got a way where 10-10-220 still works, so...
Also, is your guy with Stacker 2 Marty Jannetty?
We're going to have to bleep all this out.
I feel like he's got all the Stacker 2 and Ico Pro you could want.
And I'll talk to him next week when he's doing another personal appearance at the Hooters. We'll figure something out.
I'll talk to
him. We'll get you a case.
When he's doing another local appearance at my house, because he just needs a place to stay.
I would never invite Marty Jannetty into my house.
What about the garage?
What's next?
What do I want to talk about? Tom Bennett, Dwayne Gill, and High Energy.
I want to talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Because every time I see it, it just hits me all over again. How that High Energy gear that Owen's wearing in this match, that eventually Coco would be wearing, too.
Right.
Is the worst gear in wrestling history. Good Lord, is it unflattering.
I want to say...
High-waisted parachute pants. Multiple different patterns of loud colors and black and white checks.
Perfect even called
suspenders.
It...
Tommy Dreamer suspenders.
Perfect called it right out then and there and was like, why the fuck's he wearing baggy parachute pants?
Well, they're designed to be that way.
Oh, makes sense. My bad,
Thanks
Vince.
A lot, Vince. It still looks fucking dumb.
Sorry it was your personal idea, Vince.
You know he was drawing that up with, like, the art department. Like, I'm picturing suspenders.
I want to say they showed...
They'll be billowy like a parachute.
Earlier in the episode, they tossed it to, like, a shot when they're like, we're going to have High Energy here. Yeah. And it was them both wearing the same fucking shit.
So there's probably, like, a brief period where Coco was trying to get out of it. Like,
probably.
I'll wear it once or twice, then I'm just going to quietly go back to my fucking bird pants. Nobody will notice. Nobody will... God damn it, Coco! I told you, parachute pants!
Didn't you say Jim was coming back from that cocaine bust?
Not this time. This looks like the last one.
Oh, well. We talked a little bit about Owen last week when we were talking Stone Cold and the great matches he had.
Mm-hmm.
This match right here... 92.
This is my favorite squash of the episode.
It's showing you. It's giving you a little glimpse into the future. Hey, wrestling's about to change up a little here.
Much like Barry Windham and Steve Austin on our last episode, these guys are flying all over the ring. Just high impact, high energy. No pun intended. I guess it's not a pun. That's just their fucking name.
Yeah.
But they're all over the ring. They're over the ropes. They're flying through the air. But everything's hard hitting and everything's straightforward. Like we got to point out over and over again, it's not overly complicated.
No.
Overly pretty. Just overly fake looking bullshit.
No.
You can have a kinetic, fast paced match that still looks fucking halfway decent. Like it's a fight and is not just some sort of weird new Cirque du Soleil thing that all these young punks have turned wrestling into, much to my chagrin.
People talk about some of these guys that try to do that fast, high, flippy shit, but they're sloppy with it.
Yeah.
And they're like, ugh, it's sloppy, it looks bad, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Fights are sloppy and looks bad. This is supposed to be a fucking fight, you nitwit.
You're talking about guys trying to do like 450s that have no business doing 450s?
Yeah, that's fine. I like watching that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like fat guys with no control of their body and they're just like landing full knee on somebody's head and shit. Or like any time Billy Kidman tried the shooting star press, that entire like 6 years he did it.
But I'm okay with the execution not being right on the money because the guy's running a million fucking miles an hour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you know what that tells me? He's running as hard and fast as he can to put that extra momentum to drive through your skull or whatever the fuck he's got planned to do to you.
Mm-hmm. Or like somebody trips up on the ropes a little bit and has to re-steady themselves. Everybody's like, oh, fuck. Oh, that ruins the match. It's like, no, that kind of shit would fucking happen if you were having some sort of crazy flying all over the place fight with somebody. Everything's not supposed to look perfect.
That finisher they do at the end?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a stereo missile dropkick.
Yeah, and their positioning is like fucking wonky, so they just land on each other.
I was going to say, it was just a stereo. Look at all the fucking moves the Young Bucks do.
Oh, yeah, a lot of stereo.
All their crazy shit they do. This was just a stereo missile dropkick.
It looked like a goddamn car
crash. It looked terrifying, Nate.
It looked like some people probably
I was never so worried.
Got hurt during it.
That dude Coco kicked.
Separated shoulder, twisted
went
ankle.
Flying.
Something.
Into like a landing Owen Hart. Mm-hmm, it was insane.
Mm-hmm. Everybody just fell in one big pile. It was pretty unsafe.
It looked like but those
really
dudes
should work this one out a little bit better.
It looked
next
like
time,
those
probably.
Dudes jumped hard and fast off of a top rope and kicked those guys as hard as they could.
And that's pretty much what happened. If it's your finish, you lay it in. You got to protect
Thank
that
you.
Finish.
Thank you.
Even if you're fucking just baby soft the rest of that match, you lay in that finish, motherfucker.
Last thing I got, I just want to say real quick.
Mm-hmm.
They did that. PBF, PWB, Pro Bodybuilder, what is it called?
World Bodybuilding Federation?
WBF, that's it. They did their usual commercial, but instead of Vince yelling, Hagen and Pagan!
That was my favorite version of the commercial. I don't know why they changed it.
It was just Sean Mooney being like, hey, if you like working out, check out this show. It's about working out.
Nobody's watching it when we sell it with Vince yelling about hanging and banging. Let's try a new approach. Is there anybody out there with any interest?
They even like
any interest at all?
They even like end the commercial with a picture of like girls' butts and thongs.
It's like,
because sometimes the body needs a little more than iron.
Because what's better to program for Saturday morning fucking syndicated TV other than just like girls' butts and thongs? That's definitely what's going on TV that time of the fucking day.
If you're saying like it's early and maybe dad can get up early and rub one out before wife and kids are up, you know? Mm-hmm. But man, it was really just nice not to have Vince yelling at me.
See, I disagree wholeheartedly. If we're talking World Bodybuilding Federation, I'm thinking Vince McMahon yelling while wearing some Coco Beware-esque parachute pants and probably like a matching windbreaker of some sort with like a real, real slinky little tank top under it.
Yeah.
That's
can't wait till we're wearing those this summer.
My number five is the main event that I missed when we were doing the rundown. I must not have wrote it down in my notes right there. It was incomplete late night when I was taking these things. That's the Warrior versus Skinner. Got to address...
Oh, I didn't even notice you missed
the
that.
Ultimate Warrior versus Skinner. And the thing I got to address about this is just the sustained level of extreme fucking reaction from the crowd every second that the Warrior comes from the curtain, wrestles the entire match until he leaves. It's just a constant roar of just people loving this guy, just not even cheering, just roaring every second he's doing anything. So loud, nothing even has gotten a momentary pop like this that I've seen them do in the last 10, 15 years. And this was a sustained fucking nonstop pop.
And this is just against fucking Skinner.
And this is post championship run,
right,
about to fucking flame out again and get fired, Ultimate Warrior. This is Ultimate Warrior where they're like, oh, we can't give him a good title run because business is down. Ultimate Warrior didn't get over as champion the way we thought he would, blah, blah, blah. I've been thinking this is bullshit for years. Yeah. I've been thinking them taking the title off him so quick was fucking bullshit, just so they could do another fucking Hogan match at the next WrestleMania. I think people fucking just derailed his career on purpose, because like we said so many times before, everybody was so jealous.
Yeah.
He found something that worked and worked great, and they were all jealous that it worked so great.
Yeah.
This is some early fucking playa hating going on right here.
Pretty much.
Ultimate Warrior's the most over fucking thing they got. The most over thing I've seen on TV in fucking forever. Get the strap on this guy. He tells you he wants to do something a different way. He wants to talk about Distrusity for 10 minutes. You fucking shut up. Point the camera at him. Let him do what he wants to do.
Let him. The people are behind him. People mm-hmm. have spoken.
Mm-hmm. He wants to start wearing just airbrushed everything head to toe and sort of change up his classic look. It's crazy, but let him do it.
Oh, his gear looked on point tonight.
Oh, yeah, real good. It was real just fucking good.
It was the perfect mesh of the original Warrior. Mm-hmm. With the airbrush
yeah, sometimes,
warrior.
Sometimes the airbrush warrior would go too far in the other direction.
No,
I agree that this era right here, where he's right in the middle there, where his designs are getting more complex.
I'm not a big fan of, you know, full singlet airbrush warrior.
No, those were
I get it.
Those were the dark days.
You got the greatest physique in all of wrestling. Why you want to cover it up?
Why are you covering that up?
Yeah, why are you covering
Honey Pie, why are you covering that up?
Show them the goods,
man. Get them titties out.
And you and I both... We never really argued the fact when people were like, yeah, but he couldn't fucking wrestle.
Sure.
And we were always like, yeah, okay, no, that's true. But he, like,
didn't
he was
need
over,
to.
He was over.
He got around that.
But, you know, going back and watching this shit now, and even going back and watching that shit in 88, mm-hmm. when, like, him first debuting.
Yeah, he was doing some
he's
mat wrestling.
He's way better.
Like, why was he mat wrestling?
Either way, he's way better than we remember and give him credit for being.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is just that it's overblown how much he can't wrestle
right.
by people in wrestling, because, like, they mean the nuts and bolts of having to wrestle him. He can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, he can't do anything to you without actually hurting you.
Right.
You can't, like, do extended shit without getting blown up, blah, blah, blah. But when you're watching it as a fan, what he's doing is entertaining.
Sure.
So we don't give a fuck about that type of shit.
Oh, it hurt when you hit you. Go fuck yourself. Yeah.
This ain't
ballet.
You made
$1 million.
Homo.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Wow. Goddamn, pal. We're going to go away for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Not too long, though.
Yeah. Get some sponsors and then maybe a three count?
Three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Boom! Last Action Hero. What do you think of anyone who doesn't see this movie?
Big mistake.
I love this place.
I think it's the biggest movie of the summer. And now when you go to Burger King and order a flame broiled Whopper with large fries and a medium drink, you get this Last Action Hero animated action cup free. Like him, you can be large and in charge.
She says next.
Happy ending. Where's my happy ending?
The cowboys go home.
How the fuck did that song go through your head?
We're just talking about, you know, a generation.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about a lost generation.
Yeah.
Older brothers who still live with our parents.
It's just thinking about that song. You know, I like the Dawson's Creek song. Don't get me wrong.
That's the same girl? She did the Cowboys and the Dawson's? Oh, wow. Is she in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet?
Paula Cole is not.
They need to get her in there then, because That's a track record right there. You come up with one of those songs, you know, you got a hit. You come up with both of them, you got a fucking track record for being a great artist.
I love that "Where Have All the Cowboys Gone" song.
It was the underrated hot jam of the summer of 90 whenever.
Yep.
97 maybe.
You remember all her armpit hair?
I do vaguely remember her having some armpit hair. Yep. I think, I don't know how I felt about it at the time. I think I've come more around to it. I think I'm more open to females with armpit hair
here in 2019 right
now, than I was back in 1997.
That does things for me.
You know, I've got more of like an "I'll allow it" like armpit hair policy.
Life's weird, man.
In what way? My life's been pretty normal going all the way through.
Would you say life's been good to you so far?
That's definitely not something I would say. Oh. I've never said that. I can't imagine myself ever saying it. That is maybe my favorite, like, obnoxiously long song, though. As far as, like, songs that last way, way too long and are just, like, stupidly obnoxiously long. That's, and if you heard them on a bar jukebox, you'd be like, oh, fuck. I'd say that's my favorite of them.
I would definitely agree. Like, that's the one where, like, whenever I hear it start at a bar, I'm like, who the fuck played this? Like, it's a 9-minute song, and about 6 minutes of it,
like,
6 minutes of it are just guitar riffing.
I'm kind
of
into this.
It's just riffing. And then, yeah, exactly. Like, halfway through.
Worst one of all time. Maybe Stranglehold?
Nope. I'm going to disagree. I love me some Stranglehold.
Inagata DeVita?
Inagata DeVita might be up there.
We've got a local
Rush song.
Unhinged Marine who likes to show up at the bar and play both Stranglehold and Inagata DeVita. And every time he comes in the door, I'm like, oh, fucking God.
Well, he carries around a little twerp with him now. It's happening. That's like his apprentice.
Yeah, his apprentice, I feel, has kept him more in line lately to where he's like...
Well, the twerp kid's the one been playing like the Inagata DeVita.
Oh, God, I haven't noticed.
Because I got mad at our buddy, the Marine, and I was like, you motherfucker.
Picking up his bad
habits.
How
could you do this? And the twerp kid was like, how do you know it was him? And I was like, you little fucker.
Don't go into a bar and just fucking audio bomb the place with 9-minute songs nobody wants to hear. And I'm not just talking about like things that are purposely bad. I'm also talking about the Dave Matthews songs that you think
live
are super
ones?
Good that everyone's going to really love and appreciate. No one wants to hear anything that lasts that long. I don't care how good of a fiddle player they got in the band.
No one wants to hear a live cut of anything unless the song is famous for being a live song.
Unless it's Peter Frampton's talking guitar.
Sure.
And then play me all the live tracks you want, brother.
So live tracks, get that out of there. So Fish fans, Dave Matthews
jukeboxes
fans, sorry.
Should not have the option of live tracks.
No.
It should be only fucking radio cuts. That should be the only thing that plays.
We used to complain about our jukebox at the local bar because it had very limited selection.
Oh, I long for the days of limited selection.
There was like no rap, no country.
There was,
and it was just like all like top 40 essentially.
Oh, we're talking about when they had all the shit blocked.
Oh,
I'm talking about old school, back when it was just CD jukeboxes.
Oh, even
and
that.
All you had was the CDs that that bar had picked when they bought the jukebox.
Oh, that was, that's back in the registry days.
That was an art
form. We can make $5 last a lifetime.
Trying to piece together a playlist with just what was on the shelf there, that was an art form. But yeah, these days of being able to search for whatever you want, it's living in the Wild West. It's miserable out there.
All you fuckers with your mumble rap.
This is why democracy will never fucking work. You let people do what they want, and you learn the people don't know what's best for them.
No.
It's just a straight fucking shot to hell, giving people democratic fucking choice of hearing whatever they want.
And Nate, I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't work when there's just a group of people in charge and they decide what's what either.
Well, it does if it's the right people. Case in point, WWE's Hall of Fame. Vince McMahon's in charge of it. He makes all the picks and he's never made a bad one because it's the most respected Hall of Fame in all of sports and all of entertainment.
Record scratch noise.
Okay, I've actually got one of those on file, so we can put that in for real.
Still leave it with me saying it.
Okay.
Maybe he didn't get them all right.
Oh, fucking. All right, so we got a 3-count this week. This 3-count's in honor of this morning's news. It's not just that Luke Perry and the Prodigy guy died. Also, we've got a new entry into the WWE Hall of Fame. Tori Wilson seems like a nice girl, but a dumb bimbo who never had any sort of wrestling career.
Wow.
Never did anything for wrestling.
Wow.
Wasn't like a manager who ever got anybody over. Never cut a promo. She had a Playboy deal. She showed her tits in Playboy. That's it. That's all she did. She's in the Hall of Fame, which, you know,
hell, Kidman fucked her.
Nobody's going out on a limb here saying that the WWE Hall of Fame is a farce. This isn't breaking any new ground. Everybody knows that it's a fucking shit show farce. So, yeah. I don't know. We just decided we'd dig into that with this Tori Wilson news a little bit. Our three count this week. If you wanted to clean this Hall of Fame up a little bit, you wanted to take three people out who don't deserve it, who shouldn't be in there, just to make it a little bit more respectable, who you got? And I told you this with the caveat, the one caveat.
Yeah.
The celebrity wing is off limits.
Dick Caveat. He was a great actor.
We've got a much younger audience than this, I would hope. I don't think they're going to understand that joke.
All right. It is pretty good.
Celebrity wing is definitely out. Because that would take all your picks right there. None of these people belong in a pro wrestling Hall of Fame. It'd be too easy. Wrestling personalities only. Who's in the Hall of Fame that is just doesn't stack up as a Hall of Famer? Who is your number three?
All right.
This is rough because we got a lot of choices.
Yeah,
this
we
is,
have a lot of choices. Time. And I know like...
You got to actually set like, up your three.
Because I'm guessing you picked the same way I did where it was like, he's a good candidate. He's a good candidate. Mm-hmm. He's a good candidate. But at the same time, you like didn't just stick with three because you're like, Matt might pick that guy. Mm-hmm. Matt might pick that guy. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. So I'm going to...
A little back and forth here.
I'm going to put this guy on the list. I think this is where I want to start. Yeah, I'm going with this one. And I could go a lot of other people that I think have less of a pedigree, whatever you want to call it.
Sure. I'd call it that.
Less of a, what do you call
Sweet
it?
Sweet chin music?
Where you make your thing.
Oh, we're not just naming DX finishers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like all those.
Less of a pump handle slam.
Less of an X factor. He's got some hardware to back it up, but he just never, no, he never had the career. He never had it. He is Tito Santana.
Ooh. That's rough.
El Matador.
That's rough putting Tito in there. I gotta push back a little bit. I gotta be.
I know you're a Strike Force guy.
Well, I gotta say, even aside from what sort of a guy I am, Intercontinental Champion,
sure,
Tag Team Champion,
yeah,
it's a lot of accolades. Alone with Hogan and Warrior, and being the surviving members of the Face Team in the Ultimate Survivor match at that one Survivor Series.
I could get it. If you wanted to put Strike Force in there.
Okay. Even Strike Force, though, I feel like that was the plan B when Tom Zink went away. So they would be like, oh, we got to get somebody else in there with Martel.
Yeah.
We're going to go from the Can-Am connection to Strike Force. So it was basically them just trying to redo a tag team that they already tried to do.
Right.
It's a little bit of an also-ran.
Just Tito, man. Serviceable in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Very serviceable.
Just
promos god awful.
Can't talk.
That's if you want.
Never
yeah,
could
if you
talk.
Want to find Tito's Achilles heel. Never could get past that mid card because he could never cut a compelling promo. Like at all. Not even a little bit.
And I guess it's. And his personality wasn't really there.
No. They
he was
tried
just
to
like,
dress him
up. I'm a good
like
guy.
A bullfighter. And
I'm a good guy.
That did nothing for him.
So.
Bullfighters are like swarthy and sexy and like just mysterious. And then he just came out just being like, hey, Tito Santana, arriba, I'm El Matador now.
Well, they even.
Same Tito Santana.
They were even
now
like.
Now in a different outfit.
They were even like, I disappeared for a little while to go to Matador school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, that's lame.
I don't know. It's pretty grueling from what he told me.
Not as grueling.
More grueling than his.
As grueling than the martial
arts
classes.
Training,
that's true.
Yeah.
But not as grueling as having to watch him.
Yeah, like, bullfighters famously, like, drink you under the table, steal your fucking woman. That's what a bullfighter is. If they're trying to repackage you and give you this gimmick, and you just come in cutting the same babyface fucking generic promos again,
if,
like...
If I'm worried
you're
that,
blowing an opportunity, man.
If I'm worried that guy's gonna steal my woman, mm-hmm. it's because she's like, that guy's really got his shit together.
Sure, yeah.
He's got like a 401k.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
He's got like a 10-year plan.
He
can balance a checkbook.
He can have an entire thought without his brain misfiring and him having to like pause and look at
look
his hands for a while.
Yeah.
Like Rocky in Rocky V.
Absolutely.
Rocky, How's everybody doing out there?
Everybody, oh, everything's okay. What's wrong? What's wrong?
Remember when Mick said when he was fighting, his, sometimes he fights so hard that he was thinking that he broke something inside and he was gonna die? And that's what he said, that's when the angels was pulling on him.
Rocky, you're scaring me. I don't. What's wrong?
I can't.
Why?
I can't stop my hands from shaking. I never felt this thing.
You gotta see a doctor.
No, I just want to go home.
No. No. See a doctor?
I'm just tired. I just want to go home, Mick. I'm just tired. I just want to go home, okay?
Which is where my life is getting way quicker than Rocky's.
Oh, we're living a real life Rocky V.
Yeah.
Tito Santana, I'm going to say, big time like championship wins when they mattered, which makes him a questionable pick, but definitely I could see throwing him out of that
Trimming
Hall of
the
Fame.
Fat.
Trimming the
That's
fat.
That's what we're talking about here. And sometimes it's easy to go for that low hanging fruit, Nate. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about nut cutting.
You're gonna
here.
Go controversial.
I'm talking nut cutting.
And we're gonna be like doing rough picks, like I hate to see him go, but he's gotta go. I'm not going to go in that direction for my first one. I'm going to go with somebody who just needs to fucking go. He's got no business being in there.
And we're going
to
have both of them. We're going to have both of these picks here.
My number three pick is gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. Man.
Struggled with this one.
He's got no business being in the Hall of Fame. No part of his career was Hall of Fame worthy. His matches suck. His look sucked. His promos sucked. The only reason he's in there is because Michael Hayes works in the office. And he snuck them in there in the deal when they put the fabulous Freebirds in.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the Freebirds, this fucking Gordy and Hayes and fucking Buddy Roberts. The late fucking Freebirds where they were all over the hill and nobody cared anymore. And they tried to sneak Jimmy Garvin
in
there.
One of them was dead.
Was not a fucking thing.
One of the main ones was dead.
It wasn't the real Freebirds. Like, fucking DX. Are they putting Tori from DX in there? Are they putting Kane when he was in DX in
there? Tori got inducted by herself today.
not that. There's different Tories.
I don't think so.
Anyways, no. They're cutting it down to the main core members of DX that you remember. They're not even putting in Rick Rude a second time. And he had a much bigger run with DX than fucking Jimmy fucking Garvin had with the Fabulous
Freebirds. I don't remember Jimmy Garvin being in DX.
That's who? Not a Freebird. Jimmy Garvin is not a Freebird. You can't do a fucking Michael Hayes, Jimmy Garvin tag team
Jimmy
and call
Garvin
them the Freebirds.
And your girlfriend, Tori.
It's bullshit when you
from
did
DX.
It.
DX.
Originally. It's bullshit when you tried to put him as part of the Hall of Fame. He shouldn't have been there. It's just you carry fucking Michael Hayes' bags long enough and you get to fucking sneak in because that fucking goofy hillbilly, that fake hillbilly, he's not even from the South, is pull some strings, gets you in there. It's shit like this that makes your Hall of Fame a joke.
Nate?
What?
You can carry Michael Hayes' bags all day.
They're probably heavy bags too. I bet he brings a lot of wardrobe changes.
But you'll never carry his fanny pack.
Oh no, that's... fits right around his waist. It's
right around
convenient.
His waist. That goes
very
to one
convenient.
Man and one man only.
So that's I'm nailing that down as my first pick. I was like, which of my ones that I have here has to get in there because it makes me mad? I feel like I'm making sure I get one in there because that one makes me real mad.
All right. So my number two is going to be the... Yeah, I think this will be the most why the fuck is he in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sold some t-shirts.
Oh,
that's
not
it.
So bad. That's not so bad.
That's it.
And more than some people did.
We did one other thing.
What's that?
Ran over Steve Austin with a car.
Oh, Rikishi is on my list
I'm
of possibilities.
Going
so if you're going
with
Big
Rikishi.
Keesh, that gives me another left turn to take because
yeah.
I wanted him on here too.
You threw a big name out, like an obvious one that I thought about.
I wanted him on here too.
So here's my obvious one. Stink Nasty, whatever his fucking nickname
Rikishi
was.
Rikishi had a million names, didn't get over doing any of them.
I liked Quang better.
Never got a reaction from the crowd doing any of them. Briefly got a reaction from the crowd paired up with Too Cool because it was like, oh, fat guy dancing, that's funny. Yeah. And people would laugh and
he
clap.
Puts his butt in their face.
So then what happens? It gets over, people like it, so they're like, well, let's try to take him to the next level. Let's take this popularity and push him as a main eventer and see it. Total failure. Failed at everything. Got over briefly once as a fucking lower card comedy thing.
Yeah.
Tried to push him more with that. Right. Completely failed. There was one brief thing that this guy didn't fail at. So why is he in the Hall of Fame?
He did the. He had that cage match with Val Venus.
He did a big splash off the top. I remember
did
that.
Did he do the splash?
Yeah,
or did
for,
Val
for the
Venus
IC title.
Splash?
I think he splashed him. He did his big fat guy fall off the Hell in
poor
the Cell.
Poor Val Venus.
When they brought out like that
dump
truck full
and
of
Undertaker
like,
pushed
hay or
him?
Whatever. Yeah. That was memorable, I guess.
That was Taker, Rikishi, Kurt Angle, and three other people.
It was Steve Austin, Triple H. It was like all the biggest guys and then fucking Rikishi. Probably The Rock.
Rock or Lesnar?
I think it was Rock. I think it was fucking Taker, Rock, fucking Austin, and Triple H, and Angle, and also Rikishi. Whew. Out here with
well,
them
he,
as
he,
well.
Well, because he hit
is
Steve
Rikishi.
Austin with that car.
One of these things. Yeah, and then they had to fucking change it later to where Triple H really did it because all the heat of that did nothing for Rikishi. So they're like, let's just try to put that heat on somebody else, I guess. Samoan family member, vaguely in some way, maybe distant relatives with The Rock, so that's why he gets in.
Close
that's
enough.
The only fucking thing that got him in there.
Close enough.
Doesn't belong.
I did it for The Rock. I did it for the people. Shut your mouth, you thong-wearing fatty!
My next pick is somebody that nobody ever gave a fuck about. So there's no reason why he should be in a Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. And that's perennial WWF jobber Johnny Rods.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can put him in here in the Hall of Fame on two fronts. You can put him in here.
Spent some time. He trained
a
few bodies, didn't he?
As if he was a long-time jobber, and it's like, you know what? Pro wrestling's not real, man. It's not about who wins the most. You also, like, who's just out there who's getting other guys
he
over?
He was working.
Maybe they should be in there, too. So if you're going to put a jobber in...
But by these means, yeah.
The brawler's not in there.
Or put an
Iron Mike Sharp
yeah.
is not in there. If Iron Mike Sharp's not in your fucking Hall of Fame, but you're going to put a jobber in there,
Mr. Rods.
Your Hall of Fame's a disgrace.
Mr. Rod's good day.
So then the second reason you can put him in there, which is I think why he got the nod, like you said, he trained some guys. Big New York trainer.
Yeah.
So what'd he train? He trained a bunch of fucking ECW guys. I think like Tommy Dreamer, Taz, fucking the Dudley Boys. So if you want to be like, okay, his legacy is that he trained a bunch of guys who went on to do shit. How many of the guys he trained are in the Hall of Fame, Matt? How many of those guys
Taz,
are Hall of Famers?
Just Taz.
There's no way Taz is a Hall of Famer.
You
they
sure?
would not put somebody that short in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, fuck the world.
So what he fucking... He trained a bunch of fucking ECW misfit scrubs that Vince wouldn't piss on if they were on fire.
Oh, man.
None of those guys are getting in the Hall of Fame, except for probably D-Von and Bubba Ray. I think they're already in there or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anybody makes it in the Hall of Fame from ECW, who do you think it is?
Yeah, I think they're already in there. I think that's that. I think they're
oh,
the
they
only
made it
ones
last
who will
year,
get in
maybe,
there.
I think.
I don't remember, but...
Yeah.
No one else.
I could see Dreamer.
Raven's
getting,
not getting in.
I can see Dreamer.
Douglas
getting
ain't
in there.
Getting in. Dreamer might just because he's done work in the office.
Yeah.
But he's doing work with other people's offices now, so
sure, but
it ain't
keeps,
something happening anytime soon.
He keeps enough of a relationship.
That would be another just like pity fucking entry is what that would be. Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, no, it would definitely be a pity.
Never did anything great in his career. Sure, yeah. He was a mainstay in ECW, but ECW failed.
Who I got a number one here?
Oh, they could probably put in Rob Van Dam. He had a long WWF
run. Oh, duh.
Yeah, he's the one. He's the one that's going to get
He was their world champ for a second.
A hot second.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs, kids.
He's the one. God, makes you forget.
Yeah, I have forgot about Rob Van Dam because he went away and came back so many times and did nothing of note any of those times. So eventually he just fades from your memory.
How about it?
Just like all of his memories have probably faded out of his memory.
All right.
What I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My number one. And I went back and forth on this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it shock? Is it this? Is it that? Is it whatever? Is it semantics? Is it whatever? I don't know. I just
dancing with myself.
I gotta, yeah. Oh. I gotta say it. Razor Ramon.
Holy fuck. Whew, this is out of left field. I'm gonna need you to explain yourself. How is Razor Ramon not a Hall of Famer?
How is Razor Ramon a Hall of Famer?
I mean, he's...
Well, he's got that fucking ladder match, I guess, with
gigantic ladder match for Sean. The IC title. Yeah. One of the biggest WrestleMania matches ever. People talk about it. So the hairs you're splitting is that you're separating the careers of Scott Hall and Razor Ramon into two separate things.
Correct.
Okay. So they did induct him as the character Razor Ramon.
Right.
So this is a way to point out how bullshit this fucking Hall of Fame is.
Correct.
It should just be the performer Scott Hall goes in
right.
for all the things he did over the course
of his wrestling
career.
You look at his entire body of work.
You get plenty of people who they put in there because of their entire body of work.
Kevin Nash is in the Hall of Fame the very
next
year.
They didn't put him in as Diesel?
No.
That's fucking weird,
It's man. Kevin Nash.
So like a Coco Beware, a lot of people say like he shouldn't be in there. Well, you look at his whole body of work. He was a top guy everywhere he went. Other than the WWF, you're talking about his whole career. And then, weirdly, you're not going to take that approach with Scott Hall?
What? Coco Beware was a fucking workhorse with the WWF for a lot of years.
So have they put the NWO in there? Is Scott Hall one of those two-timers?
No.
No, NWO they haven't done that yet. So that's going to happen.
You're not going to let Scott
that's
Steiner
gonna happen
in there.
Next year, then.
You're going to let Scotty Steiner in there?
They're not going to because
just gonna
they
go,
won't let him on the premises.
You're just going to go... Hogan, Hall, Nash.
Yeah, they'll just go original three.
Maybe Pac.
And they'll put those guys in. So then that's how you get the real Scott Hall in there. Who also, like, yeah, if you do look at Scott Hall, though, like, a lot of runs as a top guy, but none that didn't get derailed because of his drug issues.
Sure. But, if you're saying, no, Razor Ramon deserves to be in our Hall of Fame.
From his... two-year career from 93 to 1995, because
right.
that's all there was.
Then you're also saying, man, when you left Scott Hall, you were right. We should have paid you more money.
There's no question there. They would have saved themselves a lot of trouble if they would have paid Scott Hall some more money and not had that whole NWO thing pop
right.
off.
So, like, admit to all of it then. Like,
yeah, sure.
Don't pick and choose.
Should have been Scott Hall. Bringing him in as Razor Ramon was so
it's
dumb.
It's just such a backhanded fucking compliment.
Mm-hmm. You don't mean nothing unless you're with us.
It's
what
like,
we did mattered.
It's like, oh man, girl, you're hot as
so
fuck.
So wait.
You got a great set of titties, but it's only because you're a little fat.
Does that never counts. Does that mean that also the stuff that second Razor Ramon did gets put in as part
right?
of that package?
It's the same guy
as far as I know.
Who's
the guy that was the fake Razor? I don't think he went on to be anybody
Paul
else.
Paul something or other.
So he's officially a WWE Hall of Famer.
As far as I know.
Because he also played the Razor Ramon character, who is a Hall of Famer.
I think he's deserving of a ring,
Why
then.
Didn't he get to do part of the fucking speech?
I think he's deserving of a ring, then.
They need to bring him out and give him an honorary fucking thing, because they screwed him that year.
I assume he's dead by drugs or something.
Sure,
like
sure.
Yeah.
My number one. I got two more left, so now I'm making big decisions. I'm going to go with the more recent one, just so I'm not talking over anybody who's not an old-timer's head. I'm going to go a guy I talked about earlier in this episode. That's The Godfather.
Ooh.
You want to talk about a guy not going in as all of his characters, as the whole span of his career. Fucking
Charles Wright.
Charles
you were
Wright
a great
is
competitor.
Not in there. The Godfather's in there. And The Godfather... never had any memorable feuds, never had any title reigns that I can fucking imagine. He was a one-note character joke, a fucking piss break you bring out that people cheered for because he had a bunch of strippers with him.
Right.
He was nothing. They hardly even used him as a wrestler.
Correct.
Didn't sell any tickets, didn't sell any merch that I can remember. Papa Shango, much cooler character,
right.
even though it happened... further in the past, I remember a lot of the things he did as a character
sure.
much more than I remember anything the fucking Godfather did. The Godfather is just a filler entry. There's no reason for him to be in there.
You talk about that shit with him putting hexes on, like, Warrior.
Oh, man.
Warrior, like you said, with the
I
fucking...
remember that shit like it was fucking yesterday.
Sweating out squid ink or fucking puking up.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got voodoo put on him.
All those things happened.
Like, I get that. You talk about Godfather.
You want to factor that in along with the fact that the Godfather got big reactions. Now you're starting to have maybe somebody who's not so embarrassing to be in there.
When you talk about the Godfather, the only like thing I can remember from his career is he captained a team at a Survivor Series with
news to me
with Ice-T.
All right, Ice-T explaining the simulation in a rap.
Yeah.
Boy. Yo. Right about now. It's time to get serious. Not that I'm ever not serious. Yeah. But there's a thing called the simulation, and you can't see it when you're standing in one place, son, because it's all around, and the sound of my voice is being simulated, so fuck you. The simulation in your ass. Yo. A simulation in your asshole. There once was a boy named John, sitting on the front lawn. He's selling crack, rolling like that. Wanna fuck your mama's pussy so hard she had a heart attack. Yeah, I fucked with that. Yeah, I gotta come down from that. I was kind of surprised by my own flow. Fucking freaked me out, you know. Back to the simulation. And not much rhymes with that, but nation. But I'm not gonna sound like Ice-T when I rhyme. And when I rhyme, I don't sound like Ice-T that much. And when I sound like Ice-T, I don't rhyme well. See? But I didn't sound like Ice-T since the beginning of this rap. But, okay, it's not personal, it's business. It's not personal, it's business. That's my not gonna do it for Ice-T. It brings me back to the impression. Lickety split, see? Okay, simulation, not personal, not gonna do it. Nation, simulation, Ice-T nation. The simulation is causing fascination. Why? Is it the Matrix? Are we a battery? Well, that concept don't work thermonuclearly. Ooh. Yo, you gotta take it to the spot. Fuck your mama so hard and she got hot. I made a friction, now that makes a charge. I fucked your mama like my name was Al DeBarge.
It's time for the Rob Schraub Rihanna hook. Rob, can you sing the hook?
Simulation. Simulation.
It's not real.
Matrix one does underappreciate. Press pause. You can go to Jaws. I will tell your mama she looked like Santa Claus. Yeah. Going up a chimney, up onto the roof. I smut your mama so hard, I was like Dr. Ruth. I'm an expert in sexuality. I'm simulating everything, it's not reality. I eat her pussy so good, it ain't real. This is a simulation, that's how she feels. She comes too hard to make it life. I fucked your mama as sharp as a knife. But don't mix those images. That's some Seven shit. I love the ladies down the street. I love the hot dogs made of all kinds of meat. That's simulation and it tastes good. So if you had a simulation, wouldn't you do it? Skateboards are fun. Ice cream, television, dinosaur stories. Everything about this world is great. So from plate to plate, you're gonna go across the nation and there's nothing to hate. Cause I'm having good times and swimming in pools. If there was a simulation, it would have three rules. Rule number one, love Ice-T. Rule number two, it's all about me. Rule number three, I made your mama pee. I fucked her so hard, she can't even see. Yo, she got caca.
Best rap ever. That was the best rap ever.
Honorable mention here.
Okay, I got one too. We'll throw these out real quick.
All right. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Ooh, no way. Just his shit he did in Mid-South alone. I'm fucking saying he's got to be in there.
All right.
Mine, Ivan Putski. Does anybody even know what Ivan Putski is these days?
It's the hammer, man.
He had like
one... He's got the Polish hammer.
One forgettable tag team run. Fucking... He's just got in there because he was a muscular guy back before people were actually muscular.
And he had a son.
It's just Vince's hard on. His son drags him down, if anything.
No.
Having that guy as a son, just get him out of my Hall of Fame.
Hey. Big Boss Man.
Big Boss Man, how dare you, you dirty old dish rag. He was fucking one of the main big characters of the late 80s boom.
Yeah, but you can't put everybody in.
Sure. If you want to like look at it from a kayfabe point of view, do the Big Boss Men ever even have a title run in WWF? I don't think so. That's back when titles meant something.
Can't put them all in, buddy.
If you were going in the Hall of Fame, you should have been one of the few people who had some fucking title runs.
I was just going to ask, are we putting Billy Gunn in? But yeah, I guess we are.
I guess that we are.
Yeah.
But not Bart.
Yeah.
Is that it? Does that wrap it up?
I guess so.
Okay.
What are we going to talk about next week?
Next week, I'm going to be out of town. We got a bye week. I'm going to be in New Orleans.
We're coming back Monday.
Yeah, but I'm not going to...
Just
come
watch
back.
This shit on the plane.
I'm coming back evening of. I'm not going to come back from a fucking four-day-long trip and then watch wrestling and then talk about this on Monday.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be dying to know how I'm doing.
Next week's a bye week. The week after that, though, we'll be back. Man, we'll be back with WCW Saturday Night.
It's coming as a shock.
For May 2nd.
May 2nd.
1992.
Oh, so still in a correct posture month?
Yeah, it's the same date.
What are you going to do in a Big Easy? You know, WrestleMania's not there this year.
Oh, yeah. I'm probably just going to get really, really drunk and then come back feeling like garbage on that Monday. Hopefully sleep for like 12 hours and then, you know, get up and go back to work.
Maybe that Tuesday night,
mm-hmm.
You, the little lady, and I will do a little Hooters trip.
Okay, yeah.
And catch up. That'll be nice.
That sounds nice to me.
Hear about the trip?
I'm going to need one post-trip day to, you know, do all my chores and shit from the week before I get back into that work week. And then I'll cap that day off. Trip to Hooters.
That's going to be nice.
Ah, perfect.
Man, we'll tell you guys all about it.
We'll take some mics into Hooters.
In 2 weeks. I got a good field mic.
We're going to record some stuff.
Oh, we'll get wrestling thoughts from Hooters girls.
Perfect.
Gearing up to WrestleMania weekend. Because I'm sure a lot of them had to work through like showing pay-per-views, maybe.
If that still happens, do that? I don't know.
We're going to find out. So will you. Baby oil and blow. Stay single.